Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
We are doing pretty good, my man. Doing pretty good. It is the month of April now, which means it's NFL Draft Month, which is a very exciting time of year for the NFL offseason. But that also means that we have to get cranking here on our rookie profiling. And no better time to do that than in the weeks leading up to the draft. So we are diving into the 2024 rookie running back class. And this class in particular, it's not as top heavy, certainly not as star-studded as we've seen in the past, but there's still a number of running backs that to sift through in this year's crop, and we're not gonna ignore this class by any means. So we're gonna give you straight talk here, 2024 running back class. Before we do that, we'll talk about some good landing spots for these players, just the kind of the best ones available on the NFL landscape. It was also a big free agency year for the running back position too, so a lot of guys change teams in the offseason, so we'll kind of reset with those good landing spots and talk about why we think they're going to be the best places for these rookie running backs to go. And if we can get some good players here going, probably not first round in this draft, I could say with confidence, but if we can get some, maybe some second round guys and definitely some third, fourth round guys, it's going to be good if those guys can land in those premier spots. And when it comes to the players themselves, I mean, we kind of touch on a little bit of everything with them. We'll tell you where they went to school, some of their rough, like heights and weights and all that, where Pro Football Focus had them ranked among their peers in 2023, some college stats, some NFL comps mixed in there too. So it's going to be a pretty action-packed episode where we talk about the class itself. But before we do that, we're going to start with the best available landing spots out there. The first one I had was the Dallas Cowboys. Pretty obvious one. They let Tony Pollard walk in free agency, and then they did not really replace him. They kind of just passed on that big free agency class that I mentioned in the 2024 offseason. But their current depth chart, it's pretty sparse, at least in terms of proven production. They currently have Rigo Dowdle listed as their starter alongside Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis. So kind of some very low profile guys there. Now, no one's certainly a household name, and you have to think this is going to be a team that is looking for a running back relatively early in the draft. And if a back were to land in Dallas, I mean, they're walking into the number one team in points per game from 2023. So big opportunity in this, what's supposed to be a high scoring offense again in 2024. And, this, I think looking at around the league, this is one place a back can come in and just be instantly viable for fantasy purposes for those reasons. It's a good offense with opportunity. So those are my quick thoughts on the Cowboys, Ethan. What do you think about that landing spot for a running back?
I think the Dallas Cowboys landing spot is definitely a top two landing spot for any of the 2024 rookie running backs. As you said, losing Tony Pollard opens up the door for a lot of carries. The guys that you mentioned that are on the team right now, none of them are workhorse backs or guys that really – I think deserve to be the quote unquote starter, but I think Rigo Dowdle is going to have a chance to at least start the season off in that starter level role. And then we'll see whatever rookie running back that they take, see what kind of role they can carve into as the season goes along. But any rookie running back that gets decent capital that lands in the Cowboys, because I'm assuming the Dallas Cowboys are going to draft a running back somewhere in the top three rounds. They're going to shoot their way up dynasty rookie drafts.
Completely agree on that. Dallas is the number one landing spot in my estimation for those reasons as well. We'll just go keep going to the next one. I have the LA Chargers here. Their current depth chart consists of Gus Edwards, Isaiah Spiller, and Elijah Dotson. The team, as we know, moved on from Austin Eckler in the offseason. He makes his way over to Washington. And they're also ushering in a new coach in Jim Harbaugh, rejoining the NFL after going on about a decade in Ann Arbor with the Michigan Wolverines. And when he was at Michigan, he liked to really pound the football on the ground. And it was really not much different when he was with the San Francisco 49ers either, the last time we saw him in the NFL. And if you look at the guys that are there, I know they went out of their way to sign Gus Edwards, but neither he nor Spiller have ever exceeded 200 carries in a single season. So this is more of a spot where I see maybe those guys kind of start the year as the primary ball carriers. But as the year progresses, I think that's when we can see a rookie carve out more of a role for himself as the year goes on. And the only reason I have him slightly behind Dallas is because I think Dallas could be a day one rookie comes in and they're splitting carries, but ultimately they're going to be the leader in that backfield before long versus the Chargers, where it could be a little bit more of a process to get that full starters workload. So what are your thoughts on the Chargers as a landing spot?
I honestly had a tough time deciding what landing spot I liked more, either Dallas or the Chargers. Those are the top two landing spots in my opinion. I like the Harbaugh landing spot with the Chargers just because I know he wants to pound the football. And as you said, Gus Edwards has never really been that clear lead workhorse back. I do think Gus Edwards gets a lot of goal line opportunity, but there's going to be another back that steps up in the offense that's going to get a lot of run. And I think it's going to be the running back they select in the second or third round. So I'm very excited to see who lands in LA there. It would be kind of crazy to see Blake Corum in the second round land with the Chargers and be reunited with his college coach. You know, Blake Corum would skyrocket up rookie draft boards, and it would be very deserving so, because I think that whatever running back is selected is primed to score a lot of fantasy points in 2024.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think if that ends up coming to fruition, I think we could see Corum being the first, maybe second running back off the board in dynasty drafts this offseason. But we got one more landing spot to touch on. That's the Cincinnati Bengals. Their current depth chart consists of Zach Moss, who's a free agent signing, as well as Chase Brown is kind of sticking around as well. And then on that team, they also let Joe Mixon go to the Texans via trade in the offseason, kind of just dumping the contract really for a seventh round pick. And I think, you know, the Bengals obviously in 2023 were a mess from a health standpoint. So there's not much you can look at from, from that lens. But the last time this team was healthy in 2021 and 2022, they were a top 10 scoring unit in both of those seasons. I do think Zach Moss is likely going to be the day one starter. I think he did enough in his time in Indianapolis last season while Jonathan Taylor was out to show that he can be the leader of a backfield. It's certainly more so of a committee approach, I would think, but he's probably going to be the starter for a team that has playoff and Super Bowl aspirations this season. I think it's kind of a tough ask for a rookie to lead this team from day one, but I think this is another situation similar to the Chargers, where if a rookie comes in there and they kind of progress well through camp and then in the early going with the work that they do get, we could see more of a split of duties from Zach Moss later in the season. So another good situation here from an overall offensive standpoint here. Do you like the Bengals as a spot as well?
I like the Bengals a lot, even though I do think Zach Moss was a sneaky signing in the offseason, especially for redraft fantasy football. And I think if you have him in your dynasty roster now, you are very excited for that landing spot, because I think he is going to be the day one starter. And these three landing spots that we just talked about, we really need to pay attention in terms of draft capital of the running back that they ultimately end up selecting. Because if they don't draft a running back in the first three rounds, which I'm projecting that they will, but let's say they don't, or like, let's say a guy, I mean, they were all relatively, the Chargers kind of stunk this year, but the Cowboys, they're going to have a later third round pick. The Bengals are somewhere right there in the middle. But if they don't select a running back until the third round or fourth round, I think it's going to be wheels up, especially in the beginning of the season for guys like Rico Dowdle, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, because I don't see a third round rookie, a fourth round rookie, especially in a class, everybody's saying the running back isn't great this year. I don't see a third or fourth round rookie just heading into the facilities and taking the workhorse role right off the rip, and even maybe not even for the entire season. So it's going to be very interesting to see who ends up landing where and in what round these teams actually select running backs, because there could be a lot of running backs that gain a lot of value, the veterans in the NFL draft, and there's going to be, unfortunately, there's going to be some veterans that get nuked a little bit, but time will tell.
Yeah, and definitely where these guys go in drafts is huge. I think the third round is definitely a sweet spot. I would agree. These three teams all drafted in round three between pick 69 overall and pick 80 overall. The Bengals also have a later third round pick towards the end of the round as well. But yeah, I think that's kind of a good wheelhouse for some of these guys to go. And I think if any of these certainly some of the high profile backs go in that in those any of those spots in by round three. I think that's about as good as we can hope for as dynasty managers looking to add some quality running backs to the NFL pool. But speaking of those running backs, let's just get right into it. We'll start talking our kind of our top guys here. We sort of have a somewhat of a consensus top six running backs that we're going to shoot through, and then we'll give you a handful of other players as well after the fact. So we'll spend the bulk of our time on those first six running backs. The first guy I'm going to start with here is Jonathan Brooks out of the University of Texas. Comes in at 6 feet, 216 pounds. Pro Football Focus, or PFF for short, had him graded as a 91.5, which is good for ninth among running backs in the country in 2023. Spent his 3 years in college at Texas. Obviously, he was playing behind the likes of Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson in his first two seasons at UT. So didn't really get much going, obviously, behind those two established guys who were drafted in the NFL. But really took off in his junior season. Did not partake in the combine from any type of athletic testing standpoint, as he's recovering from an injury, which we'll touch on down the pike here. But some of the strengths to his game: averaged 130 scrimmage yards per game in 2023. Really was the engine of this Texas offense on the ground. He'll be 21 years old during the turn of the 2024 season. So which is good. He only took 266 career touches in college. So kind of put those two things together. You have a young player with a limited workhorse, which is good for a player's long-term outlook. It's not like one of those old school Wisconsin backs, like a Melvin Gordon or something that was taken on massive carries for three or four straight years. Monty Ball comes to mind as well, but kind of hitting the NFL a little bit gassed. Certainly not the case here with Jonathan Brooks. He as far as his running style, he's a really strong acceleration once he gets into space, both on the perimeter and up the middle. Just kind of finishes runs hard as well, which what you want to see. And I was really impressed watching his film, kind of how he caught the ball out of the backfield. Caught some tough balls to grab, and it really made some plays with it. There's chunk plays on screens all over his tape, and I really think with a little bit more, he gets refined a little bit more in that area and ends up in the right scheme, he could develop into a real passing game weapon at the next level. Going to weaknesses now, the big elephant in the room with Brooks, it's really can't understate it enough, suffered a torn ACL in November. So he faces an uphill battle to be ready for week one of this coming season, which stinks. I mean, I really like this guy. He probably would have been, he may even still be my number one running back off the board, in a vacuum. But the ACL injury definitely has to be taken into consideration. As far as him on the field, he needs to be a little bit better at setting up blockers at times. Should come with experience, but also needs to work on his pass blocking. Although I've seen some mixed reviews on that topic. PFF actually had him ranked as a top 15 running back in the country in terms of pass protection grade. So more of a consistency thing than anything else. I think he has the physical tools to do it. And NFL comp for him, this one's going to get people excited. I'm not sure it's a perfect comp, but what I have right now is for him is Jamaal Charles, one of the more productive running backs of the last 15 years or so. So that's my rundown on Jonathan Brooks. Ethan, do you want to add anything in on him?
No, I think Jonathan Brooks is a good player. And as you said, I think he'd be more of a lock to be the number one running back selected in this draft if he didn't tear his ACL this past season. Hopefully he'll be ready to go. I mean, it would stink for his return in rookie drafts to kind of start the year on pup or miss even half the year. Because, I mean, when it comes to the running back position, I mean, you really need to capitalize on those first 4 years of their rookie deal, five if they're a first round pick, because obviously, like we know, running backs value plummets as they get older, and you almost got to treat the position almost year to year at this point. So when you do draft a guy like Jonathan Brooks, you're hoping to get four solid years out of him at least under that rookie deal. And then everything on top of that is kind of gravy. But no, Jonathan Brooks, a lot of people like him. A lot of people are high on him. He's actually, so before this exercise, I looked into the latest mock draft by Chad Reuter. He's a NFL draft analyst for NFL.com. And he does, he has a lot of five round mock drafts. Sometimes you don't really see too many guys go that deep. So it is kind of nice to see someone put five rounds of mocking out there, which is nice. But Chad Reuter actually had Jonathan Brooks pick 24 to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think this is going to happen, but my God, would he skyrocket in a rookie drafts? I mean, a first round running back to one of those premier landing spots would be absolutely amazing, and he would definitely be a lock first round pick, even in super flex drafts. I think people would just go over the moon if that's what happened. So when I saw Trad Reuter mocking the Dallas in the first round, I got pretty excited.
Yeah, I like that idea too. Him staying in the state of Texas and continuing his career at the Cowboys, sort of just taking off as then hopefully the next super productive fantasy running back for the Cowboys. It seems like they've had a lot of them over the years, and hopefully he can be the next one in that line. But let's keep the line moving on this program, my man. Talk to me about your next top six running back that you want to go over.
Yeah, the guy I want to go over is Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee. Jalen Wright, he's 5'11", 210 pounds, and he just turned 21 in April. So very, very young back. He was PFF's number 11 overall running back this past year with a grade of 91. He's just he's a top-tier athlete at the position. He's very explosive, great contact balance, and he's a guy that can pretty much take anything to the house. He ran a 4.38 40-yard dash. It was very explosive in his drills at the combine as well. And he's a guy that I think can take a step at the next level. It's easy to compare him to a guy like Alvin Kamara. They're almost exactly the same size. And you watch him on tape, you see him cut, the explosion, the contact balance. I mean, if Jalen Wright becomes anything close to Alvin Kamara, it would be a home run. Jalen Wright was okay productive at Tennessee. He didn't play much in 2021, only 67 attempts. And then 2022, he kind of came onto the scene, had 162 attempts, 923 yards, 5.7 a carry. And then in 2023, 161 attempts, 897 yards, and 5.6 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns, 17 receptions for 69 yards. So not a ton of production from Jalen Wright, but I do think he has the tools to be a very good running back in the next level, whether that's a complimentary piece or a potential workhorse, hopefully. But obviously the workhorse role is kind of dwindling away at the NFL level. But I think Jalen Wright, with that top-tier athleticism and explosion, I think he can do a lot of good for many NFL teams. Chad Reuter had him going pick number 62 overall to the Ravens. And I think in terms of an NFL pick, I think that's a great fit with Derrick Henry, kind of thunder and lightning. Obviously, for a fantasy perspective, that would be not the most ideal landing spot, but obviously a second round selection is great capital for a running back. But unfortunately, it's going to put him in one of those Zach Charbonnet situations where there's already obviously a legitimate starter in place. But the only difference is Derrick Henry probably has what, 1-2 years left. So with Jalen Wright obviously being a second round pick, could probably work himself into a third down role, and with occasional first, second down carries, and then maybe take over as a starter a year or two down the line. But Jalen Wright is a guy I like a lot. I liked watching him on tape. He's just a guy that doesn't go down easily. So I'm very high on Jalen Wright.
Yeah, I knew kind of when the process started, at least when the combine got going, this is going to be one of your guys. you're there. You're a big combine guy, and running a sub 4.4 was always going to be big in your bug. Obviously, the broad jump being good as well was what you wanted. So yeah, I mean, he's a guy I've liked more and more as the process has gone on as well. If you see him in Baltimore in round two, it's exactly what you said. I mean, we love second round draft capital for running backs in the modern NFL. That's excellent. Not ideal for fantasy for the reasons you said, but with Henry being there, obviously Lamar Jackson gets his share of carries too and touchdowns as well. So not ideal in that situation, but I like him. I'm moving him up my board. He's definitely going to be in my top five. And I'm hopeful he's off the board by the end of day two, at the conclusion of round three at the latest for him. But we'll keep plugging along here. And this next guy here is, we're going to talk about Trey Benson out of Florida State. 6 feet tall, 216 pounds. Pro Football Focus had him graded 84.2, which was 42nd among running backs. Spent his first two collegiate seasons at Oregon before transferring to Florida State for his final two college campaigns, where he really started to make an impact on the field and as a Seminole. Some strengths about his game, quality, size, and speed combination. I was happy to see him run the 4.3s. I was a little skeptical to see if he could break that, but the 4.39 was what I wanted. Has the upside, I think, to develop a little bit more as a receiving threat that we saw out of the backfield. He caught 20 passes as in his final year in college for 227 yards and one score. I think he has the ability to do a little bit more. I mean, I think they really needed him on the ground, so they didn't want to give him a ton of work through the air. But the snippets I saw, especially the quick highlights of him scoring a few long plays on his film that through the air, where he averaged 11.4 yards per reception, I think he could do more of that at the next level. Questions about his vision at the collegiate level were on display at times. I just see kind of a lot of wasted motion with Benson, which I think really could be a problem at the next level, where, as we know, those holes end up closing really quickly for you, especially if you're not decisive with where you're going and trusting what your eyes are showing you. So he has to do a better job at that, and also at setting up his blockers to be successful. So I kind of see all of that working in unison, where, you know, if he's not trusting what you're seeing and you're not able to set up your blockers properly and you're wasting motion left and right, that's going to be a big problem for him. So he kind of just has to be a little bit more instinctual, I think, at the pro level. And obviously the pass protection needs to improve a little bit. But we see that with a lot of backs, to be honest, coming out of college, where you look at a lot of these scouting profiles, it's at least questions about pass protection ability, and really just more so because these guys in college that are the top of running back classes, when they're in college, they're being used as hammers on the ground or weapons through the air too. So they're not asked to pass protect a ton. So a lot of these guys, it's not that they can't pass protect, it's that we didn't see them do it a ton. So room for improvement to be sure, but I don't think that's his biggest weakness. Overall, the top six, I think I probably have Benson as towards the back part of that tier, that cluster, if you will. Just really thought he could have done a little bit more towards the end of the season last year for Florida State, as they were pushing for that playoff spot they probably should have gotten, but the committee decided otherwise. But yeah, overall, Beth's not a bad prospect here. I probably have him pegged landing spot dependent somewhere in the early to mid part of round two of Superflex tight end premium drafts.
Yeah, Trey Benson's an interesting case. I think he's a guy that's going to need some good draft capital to keep kind of moving his way up. I agree with your points. He's a guy that I feel like leaves something to be desired for a guy with that kind of speed, that kind of size. So it is going to be very interesting to see where he lands. Chad Reuter has him at pick 70 to the Giants, which, I mean, third round pick to a team in need of a running back. Trey Benson would have every single opportunity to take over as a starter over Devin Singletary. So I think with a guy with Trey Benson's profile, that kind of size, that kind of speed, I think that would benefit him a ton in that landing spot. Obviously, the Giants offense, they need to figure it out themselves. You would hate to kind of see a split backfield with Benson and Singletary on a poor offense, on a bad offense. So it'll be I'm very excited to see where Trey Benson lands. His stock, I think, is heavily hinging on his draft capital.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm very curious to see what the NFL thinks of him on draft night. So I think that's really going to go a long way, depending on landing spot and also the capital that gets invested in him. It's going to go a long way to determining how we feel about him as dynasty managers as well. But talk to me about someone else. Who's your next top six running back that you want to go over?
Okay, so before I move on to my next player, I just want to touch on Jalen Wright again. I had a little discrepancy between a couple of sites in terms of stats, so I just want to make sure I get my guy's stats right. But he actually had, in 2023, 137 attempts for 1,013 yards, which is 7.4 yards per carry. So, as I said, that kind of just reiterates the explosion of Jalen Wright. I mean, over 7 yards a carry is pretty ridiculous. Only 137 carries, and he hit the 1,000-yard mark. So, apologize for the slight error, but I didn't want that to I didn't want to throw shade on Jalen Wright's stats, considering he did hit that nice mark of 1,000 on only 137 carries. So, like I said, Jalen Wright, one of my favorite running backs in this class. Now I'm going to move on to Marshawn Lloyd, running back at a USC. He is 5'9", 220 pounds, which is 32.35 BMI, which is the 92nd percentile. So has the mass to take on a heavy workload. And Marshawn Lloyd's a guy that I think is was a huge benefactor of the combine. I mean, obviously he came in with a nice size. He ran a 4.46 40, 36-inch vert, 9'10" broad, and put up 25 reps on the bench. So just strong, compact running back who can handle the workload. In 2023 for USC, he was honorable mention All Pac-12 conference. He ranked 7th in the FBS with 7.1 yards per carry, 116 attempts, 820 yards, 9 touchdowns. Played in 11 games with 6 starts. So very, very productive in 2023. And he started his first 3 years at South Carolina. Unfortunately, in 2020, he suffered a torn left ACL. So obviously not a great start to his college career. And then he played another 2 seasons at South Carolina. In 2021, he was actually reserve. And then in 2022, he led the team with 573 rushing yards, 5.2 yards per carry. Then obviously had a pretty decent season at USC. But this is a guy that has the requisite size, requisite athleticism. He spent 4 years in college, so he's going to be a little on the older side. But like I said, if you can draft a guy like Marshawn Lloyd in the second round of your rookie drafts, and you can get a solid rookie campaign out of him that first 4 years, then it was worth the second round pick. So Marshawn Lloyd, he's a guy that's got kind of steadily moving up boards, pretty impressive in that combine. PFF had him at a grade of 81.7, which was good for number 92 overall out of all running backs, which obviously isn't great. Chad Reuter had him at going in the third round, pick 92 to Tampa Bay. Marshawn Lloyd, he would definitely be in a complimentary role. Rashad White, in my opinion, no matter who they bring in, it's still going to be the guy. I mean, he was obviously a pleasant surprise last year. So obviously that wouldn't be an ideal landing spot for Marshawn Lloyd, but Chad Reuter has him going the third round. And if Marshawn Lloyd gets third round capital, I think it's wheels up. And I think it would definitely lock him in as definitely a second round rookie selection in super flex drafts.
Yeah, I like some of the athletic stuff that he put out there. I would love it if he got third round capital for him. I think that's best case scenario for him. The things with him that worry me a little bit, I mean, the production really wasn't there in college, and we'll call it 3 seasons if you toss out the torn ACL year. He never exceeded 8 or had much more than 800 rushing yards in a season, and really faced minimal competition, especially while he was at South Carolina. So never really showed an ability to take on a big workload. I mean, never had no more than 116 carries in a year. And then, beyond that, I mean, it just kind of worries me a little bit with that, when I see guys that don't really do it much in college. I mean, do you think that's a fair concern?
No, I think it is. You definitely want to see a guy dominate at the college level. I mean, he didn't have a ton of attempts last year, but I mean, he did a lot with those attempts. He did average, like I said, over 7 yards a carry. But you definitely want to see your running backs come into the league with uber production, because hey, it's if you can't be uber productive in college, who says you're going to go in the NFL and just start dominating?
Yeah, right. So I guess that's kind of where my hang up comes. And then the PFF grade in the 90s isn't ideal either. These are different players, but I almost sort of get Damian Pierce vibes, from the sense where they were productive backs in college but didn't really get a big workload at any point. And I know Pierce is good as a rookie, but I think now that we got a little more tape on Pierce in the year 2, where he got beat up by Devin Singletary. We kind of saw why he wasn't utilized a ton at Florida. So I think that it could be a similar situation where at least it's on the table where Marshawn Lloyd, we kind of find out when he gets to the pros, like, oh, that's why he wasn't super productive at any point in his college career. But I do think that he has a little bit more upside than Dameon Pierce based on the athletic profile that he showed us at the combine, and a good landing spot. I think he could be a productive NFL player. But I guess any other last points on your guy Lloyd before I move on?
No, I think I'm all set with Lloyd. I think it's going to be all about draft capital. He's a guy that if he can go in the third round, I think he's going to find himself in the second round of rookie drafts. And if he's a fourth, fifth round pick, I think he's going to dip to the third round. So it's like any of these players. I mean, draft capital is huge for these running backs because draft capital, it signifies opportunity. And if you're a running back that's not going to get opportunity, it's not very good for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, definitely. And the landing spot's huge too. So definitely a lot up in the air with Lloyd. We'll see how he pans out. And let's keep it moving. We'll go to Braylon Allen, 6'1", 235 pound bulldozer out of the University of Wisconsin. And 2023, he was PFF's 204th ranked running back, which is definitely not ideal by any means. But we'll get into some of the specifics as to why he was ranked so low. Attended the combine, but didn't do any of the speed based testing. So no 40, no 10 yard splits or anything, no shuttle times. Just a vert of 32 inches and a 9.9 broad jump, 26 reps on the bench if you care about that. But like I said, he's kind of a mountain of a man, big body player, really showed he could carry the mail in college, averaged 19 touches per game in his 3 years at Wisconsin. Just an instinctive runner, has some quickness to go with it, but kind of just gets the balls and goes. He's capable enough as a receiver. I don't think he's ever going to be a true weapon, but he can be kind of like a dump off or a release valve for you in a pinch if need be. Really strong in a short yardage situation, as you might expect with the 235 pound frame. It was a double digit touchdown score in each of his 3 years at Madison, and good age on this guy. He's only 20 years old for the duration of his rookie season, which is what you want to see. He's the youngest running back in this class. In terms of pass pro, has the physical tools to be good in pass pro, but wasn't really asked to do it a ton at the college level. So there's something to like about him. I think it's important to note here that when you think Big Ten football and Wisconsin specifically, you think, you know, a big running back there running behind a quality offensive line, maybe toss a fullback in there. And that's what he was doing for his first 2 years at Wisconsin. And then entering 2023, they switched to an air raid system, which, as you know, Ethan, is very different from their traditional, you know, I formation type offense, where now there's all these receivers on the field. It kind of just changes up everything Allen had to work with between his sophomore and junior seasons. So I thought that was important to note. And I think that's probably a good indicator of why his PFF grade was not as high as we want it to be in 2023. But he's certainly not a perfect prospect either by any means. You know, could do a better job of getting in and out of cuts a little bit more cleanly, kind of has to slow down a little bit after making his move, which can really cause NFL defenders to catch up to you at the next level. Doesn't have a ton of burst when he gets past the line. It's kind of more of an average thing, if I'm being honest. So I'm not sure he has the long speed to really hit home runs and turn those chunk plays into touchdowns, which is what we want as fantasy managers. So, you know, and really did nothing to dissuade us of that notion by skipping all those athletic tests that measure speed at the combine. So also struggled somewhat in his final year compared to his first two for the reasons I mentioned. And look, my biggest concern overall with Allen is if this were the year 2000, I'd be all over this guy. I think he'd be an absolute force. You know, it's a hammer for an NFL offense for 5 or 6 years. But I question whether if he has a skill set or not to mold successfully into the modern NFL and be a true lead back at the next level in, you know, entering 2024. So those are my quick thoughts on him, Ethan. Do you have anything to add on Braylon Allen, good or bad?
I really liked watching Braylon Allen on tape, just kind of play the quote unquote old Wisconsin football. And then obviously to your point, they changed that. But I mean, Braylon Allen college, I mean, just running through defenders. He was fun to watch, but to your point about not performing any athletic testing, to me, that's a red flag, right? You're you're clearly not performing athletic testing because you know you're going to suck at it, right? I mean, if you just and you just look at his like profile, I mean, there it's like below average burst to race through the line of scrimmage, tight hipped with lethargic change of direction, slow to accelerate after cuts. Obviously, that's due to a lack of explosion, lack of speed, and a guy, Braylon Allen, is basically just relying on his size to run over people, but you're not going to be able to just run over everybody in the NFL. So to skip all the athletic testing just tells me he's a sub athlete, and it's 2024. To your point, it's like what role is he really going to have in the NFL? A 1-2 down grinder that is, Derrick Henry is like a 1-2 down grinder, but he is an absolute freak. And Braylon Allen doesn't compare at all to a guy like Derrick Henry. He's essentially a less athletic, a much less athletic A.J. Dillon. And we know how much you love A.J. Dillon there, Kamish.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the second round fullback out of Boston College was never going to pan out.
No, exactly. But like, A.J. Dillon showed out with the athletic testing, and Braylon Allen, if he did have to test, would probably fail pretty miserably. But, and also to your point, like one of the NFC regional scouts, he basically said he came to Wisconsin to play Wisconsin football, but once they switched up that offensive scheme in 2023, he just looked out of place. So, he's there to kind of just get carries and just bang up the middle and just get hard fought yards. And there is definitely a role on some teams for him, but how productive is he going to be in fantasy really for us? He's only 20 years old, so he has a lot of football ahead of him, and maybe he can develop. It'll be interesting to see kind of where he goes in the NFL draft. He's a guy that I think everybody kind of liked, but if he falls in the NFL draft, he's gonna plummet in rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think the best hope here is he kind of comes into the mold of like a Brian Robinson type, but landing in a better offense in the middle of rounds of the draft, where I think Brian Robinson would be someone who might be kind of ugly to watch, but he would be more productive from a fantasy standpoint in a better offense outside of some place like Washington. So I think if you get a bigger body like Allen in a good offense that's going to score a lot, maybe like Dallas, for example, I think that could be something that saves some of his value, even though I have my concerns about him being able to really live up to it and be a lead back that does more than just pound the rock at the next level. So that's where I'm at on him, Ethan. We got one more top six running back to cover. So why don't you tell the audience about Blake Corum?
Yes, Blake Corum. He surprised me a ton at the NFL Combine, was way more athletic than I anticipated. I was pleasantly surprised. He's a guy that went out there, ran a 4.53 40, which was much faster than I anticipated. And I was very, very impressed with his agility. His agility does show on tape. His three cone was 6.82 and his 20 yard shuttle was a 4.12. Those are really respectful numbers. And he's a guy that is kind of like a no nonsense runner with good vision, but like he can make people miss in the hole. And he's just a smart running back, knows where to be, good vision. And he's a guy that I think NFL coaches are going to fall in love with. And he seems like a very safe selection for an NFL team. Chad Ruder actually has him going in the second round, actually pick 37, which I think is a touch higher. But people would go absolutely crazy. Pick 37 of the Chargers. Blake Corum being reunited with his old college coach and a team that needs a running back outside Gus Edwards. And Blake Corum, like I said, I think he's NFL ready. You put on the tape. He does a lot of things right. Pro Football Focus had him ranked number 60th with an 84 grade of 84. But Blake Corum, yeah, he was obviously a national champion this year. Very productive in college, 237 attempts last season for 1,111 yards. In 2022, he had another heavy workload, 247 attempts for 1,463 yards. So definitely a guy that's seen a ton of carries, but he's also been very productive. Harbaugh loved to pound the rock, and he trusted Blake Corum to do that. I think Blake Corum has a legitimate shot to be a second round NFL draft pick. One of the few negatives with Corum is he is going to be 24 for his rookie season, which isn't ideal, but I keep going back to it. I mean, if Blake Corum can give you 4 years on his rookie deal, I mean, at the current landscape in dynasty football, that's kind of all you're hoping for. If he's a second round pick to the Chargers, I don't think age really matters too much. The only thing that will affect is resale and trades later down the road. He might be a guy that you draft and he kind of dies in your roster, but I could definitely see people take a Blake Corum at the back end of the first. If he does go to the Chargers in the top of the second round, he's a guy that Harbaugh would use heavily. I think he's ready for the NFL game, and he's definitely impressed me throughout this process. I didn't expect myself to be a big Corum guy at the beginning of the process, but as I keep going through this process, I'm finding myself raising him up as the weeks go by. I just like I'm liking what I'm seeing.
So he's a guy who's raising in my rankings too, but I'm not going as high as some people are with Blake Corum. I mean, when you said a couple times there that someone had a mock 37th overall
a little crazy.
That is a little crazy, man. Especially, and look, I get it. Harbaugh wants to pound the rock. That's what he did in college. That's what he did with the Niners. That's probably what he's going to do with the Chargers. But if they take a running back at pick 37 with no wide receivers on this depth chart, like that's insanity. Like you have
whoa. QJ is on the team, dude. We are set.
Like I said, with no receivers on the depth chart, you know, like they have to replenish what they had from their passing game weapons. That they definitely need to add another running back. I'm not saying that they don't, but like round two is just a little spicy for me at 37th overall. Like, no running back in this class, in my opinion, should be drafted in the top 40 in this class. Anything kind of beyond that, sort of more on the table for me. But yeah, I think that'd be a big reach for them to do that. But you know, as for the player himself, you know, he, like you said, he carried the mail in college. He's probably going to be a good NFL pro. So it's hard for me to really rip him because I think he's going to be solid at the NFL level. It's just, you know, I don't think he's going to get that type of draft capital. But if he does, like, it's going to have to force the way that dynasty managers that aren't as high on him, like me, think about him entering this rookie draft. And he probably would be one of the top two or three backs off the board by absolute latest, the early part of round two in those super flex drafts, if he does go that high for sure.
No, definitely. And Corum, when I look at the running back position, I like to see – one of the biggest things I like to see is contact balance. And Blake Corum is one of those backs that has a ton of contact balance. It takes a lot to knock him down. As I alluded to before, great in between the tackles, good vision. He can cut, make people miss in the hole, and stay on his feet. So, but to your point, I do agree that it would be based on the running back profiles that we have in this NFL draft class. I don't know if anyone's deserving, like you said, of a top 40 pick. I mean, I just think there's way too much talent at other positions to spend like pick 37 on a guy like Blake Corum. Like Blake Corum, like no offense to Blake Corum, I think he's gonna be a good pro, but I don't see special when I look at him. I think he's gonna be solid, but I mean, pick 37, an early second round pick for a running back in today's NFL, that's legitimate capital, and that's a legitimate piece. I mean, an early second round pick, I mean, is a piece that could help turn your franchise around. And I just don't think a 24-year-old running back is a smart selection at that spot.
Yeah, 100%. Like, he's, even if he is a safe play at any spot in the draft, like he's a safe guy who can produce. Like, it's just too early. Like, you want to take shots on franchise changing upside, like you said, and he might be a good pro. He's probably going to be a good pro, and by proxy, be a quality fantasy running back for us. I don't deny that, but 37 is just a little bit too high. So maybe I'm just stuck on that, but I do think he'll be a pretty good pro at the next level whenever he does come off the board. But so that concludes our top six. These next guys will rattle off a little bit more quickly. I kind of just have more of like I call it the top six, then kind of the rest. And there's gonna be good players that come out of this next tier for sure. But it's a big group here, so we'll just pick out a few players and we'll touch on them briefly. And I want to talk about one of my favorite running backs to watch on film in this tape, and that's Bucky Irving. And look, I know like the world's down on Bucky Irving. Like the combine showing was not great. Totally get it. But we'll go over him here a little just quickly here. He's 5'9", 192 pounds. PFF graded him as the 92nd ranked, or sorry, give him a PFF grade of 92, which is good for 18th among running backs. So RB 18 in 2023 at Oregon. Like I said, the combine wasn't great. He ran a 4.55 40, and was the actually the only running back under 31 inches on his vertical jump, which is not what you want to see for a a smaller guy, lighter guy, and all that. But there were some good things here. Again, he was my favorite running, one of my back favorite backs to watch on film because I just think he's a good football player. Like, really elusive runner. He can just flat out make people miss, man, which is maybe why I had so much enjoyment, got so much enjoyment out of watching him. He's got really sharp cuts, some nice spin moves, et cetera. Just has all that flash that you want to see from a running back. Really solid ball security too for a smaller guy. Handled just under 500 touches in college and only fumbled one time. So really, really has the tools to be successful in the receiving game, which we saw. He caught 56 passes in his final season at Oregon, which is awesome. Got a lot of short passes from Bo Nix. And he had 2 seasons as well of 1,300 or more yards from scrimmage. Averaged 6.3 yards per carry or better in both 2022 and 2023. So if you're going to hang your hat on this guy with anything, it's the film, what you actually saw, and the production are the two big selling points with him at the college level. Obviously, the weaknesses, his small frame and his athletic testing didn't pan out very well. So those things are undeniable. You can't ignore that. But, for smaller running backs to not have that athletic profile that we want, that's a risky thing. So it's unfortunate, but I like him. I do still like him. And if he does slip to like the fourth, maybe even the fifth round, I'm still gonna want to take a flyer on him later in the draft process. And a comp that I have for him is a little bit smaller version of a Giovanni Bernard, who is more of a pass catcher than a true workhorse running back. But in the right fit, in the right scheme, in the right role, who knows? Maybe Bucky could carve out a productive spot for himself at the next level. So where are you at on Mr. Bucky Irving?
I agree with a lot of your points. I think Bucky Irving didn't do himself any favors at the combine. He's small and not explosive and slow, which isn't a great combination unless your name is Kyren Williams, right? I know we brought this up a few episodes ago where Kyren Williams was basically left for dead because he entered the NFL combine and was insanely unathletic and slow, and look at Kyren Williams now. I mean, sometimes it's like you're just a football player. Maybe you go out there in the combine, you have a bad day, whatever it may be. But like then when you get between the lines, your play speed, everything is just so much faster. I mean, Bucky Irvin, he makes plays in the football field, and he makes. I mean, to me, he plays a lot quicker than what his athletic testing shows, and that could be a testament to his just reaction and his vision and just the way he plays the game. Because it's like I don't see a guy that's that unathletic on tape. And I do think Bucky Irvin can work his way into a role in the NFL. Who knows, maybe he will be the next Kyren Williams, and it will be a steal in rookie drafts. Chad Reuter had him going actually into the fifth round to the Packers, which honestly wouldn't be a terrible landing spot for him, considering you have Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon. I know they said they wanted to get Jacobs more involved in the receiving game, but if Bucky Irving can carve out that third down role, that could be a nice little spot for him.
Yeah, I hope he goes in the top 5 rounds, and I do like the player. But you brought up another guy, Kyren Williams, who out of Notre Dame, who was kind of didn't really take the combine by storm. But why don't you talk to me about one of Kyren Williams' former teammates in Audric Estime?
Yeah, so Audric Estime is kind of an interesting case. I feel like I had to bring him up because he was PFF's number two overall ranked running back with a grade of 94.2. I feel like this guy, if it wasn't for that abysmal 40-yard dash at the combine, he would check all the boxes, right? He ran the 4.71. That's obviously not a check, in the speed category. But he had a 38-inch vertical, a 10'5" broad, 23 reps on the bench at 5'11", 221 pounds, and he averaged 6.39 yards per carry at Notre Dame last year. He had 210 attempts for 1,341 yards, 18 total touchdowns, and he had 17 catches for 142 yards. And I mean, 17 doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a decent threshold mark for a running back in college to at least tell us, hey, they can catch some passes. I mean, so he's going to be an interesting case. At his pro day, he was clocked at a 4.58, which is obviously much better. But I mean, you can always, those pro day times are always hit or miss, right? I mean, they say, hey, this is the official pro day time was 4.58. But I mean, obviously, he ran a 4.71 at the combine, but he's probably somewhere in the middle on a perfect day. But Chad Ruder had him going in the fourth round to the San Francisco 49ers, pick 135. So that would be an interesting spot. But I felt we had to talk about the guy who PFF ranked number two overall, a guy with uber production at Notre Dame in 2023, and a guy that basically checked a lot of other boxes outside that 40-yard dash.
Yeah, we'll see on Estime. I mean, he's really a puzzling guy to kind of really pin down. Like, the production tells us one thing. The athletic testing tells us something else. You know, I think the best case scenario is that he's just what you said at the top there, that he's just a football player, that he can land in a spot where he can carve out some, you know, a role for himself. And then when he gets that opportunity, makes the most of it. So he's a tough guy to really pin down. So I think another guy in this exercise where what the NFL thinks of him on draft night is going to go a long way in determining where he goes in drafts. I don't really think there's a chance he sneaks up into being like a first round dynasty pick or anything, but I think if he gets good capital, he could be at best a mid to late second round guy. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I would think to be a mid second round pick, I think he would need to be drafted in the third round or early fourth to a team that needs a running back and maybe didn't draft a running back yet. You know what I mean? So I don't see him getting third round capital, but I think that's the kind of scenario that it would take for him to move to the mid second in dynasty rookie drafts.
Yeah. Probably more of a later second, or early third round guy if we're being honest. So we'll see what the league thinks of him on draft day. It's always a big tell, but let's keep this train moving. We got a couple more guys here to close it out. This next guy I want to talk about here is very much the opposite of Estime from a speed standpoint, and that's Isaac Guerriendo out of Louisville, 6 feet tall, 221 pounds, PFF grade of 89.1, good for RB14 in this class in 2023. He actually was teammates with Braylon Allen at Wisconsin. It was even there before Allen got there. He's at Wisconsin for 4 years, transferred over to Louisville in the ACC for his final college season, and put up his best numbers to date. Had 810 rushing yards, 11 scores on the ground. Also caught 22 balls for 234 yards. The combine, like I said, was kind of his calling card. He was the fastest running back at the combine. Ran a 4.33. Had a 10-yard split of 1.55. Broad jump 10.9, and it did the three cone. Finished with a 6.94. You know, obviously the 40 time being the fastest one in the class, what you wanted, really kind of turned some heads with this guy. Not a lot of people really knew who he was coming into the offseason process, but looking at diving into his tape a little bit further, you know, he's a hard guy to bring down. Barely or rarely is he brought to the ground through arm tackles, so doesn't hesitate to run through people and kind of deliver that boom finishing hits. So that always good to see that. You know, good posture too with his pass blocking situations. He's really just had that willingness to take on blitzers, and at 6 foot 221 has the requisite size to do so successfully in the pros. But you know, obviously not a perfect prospect either. Takes a little bit too much time to get going downhill. Like I said, he had the fastest 40, but his 10-yard split was in the middle of the pack among running backs, which tells you that he doesn't really get that burst quickly. He kind of gets that as he starts to hit his stride and hits those home runs later in his you know, deeper runs down the field. So just that lack of explosiveness just might catch up to him at the next level. Has the metrics, as we know, but we'll see if he can put that all together as a pro. Like I said, stuck behind Braylon Allen, also even going back to Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin. So really was pigeonholed into a backup behind those high profile backs before transferring out to Louisville. So did get a shot, but he is going to be 24 years old as a rookie. So another guy later, longer in the tooth entering the NFL. So what do you think about the speedster out of Louisville?
Definitely came out of nowhere for me when I turned on the NFL Combine. I'm a guy with those numbers. I mean, that was impressive, as you said. I mean, the 4.33, and then just the burst with the jumps. It was very impressive. But he was a track guy in high school, and the NFL Combine, I mean, benefits that having that track experience. You're just so much more ahead of some of these other football players who haven't run track. I mean, the 40-yard dash half the time is technique, right? I mean, you can train and you can train at all these combine events and improve on those. And that start out of the blocks in track can correlate perfectly to a 40-yard dash. And obviously, this kid blew up the combine, and I think his track background helped him do that. But I mean, a guy that athletic, you think he'd be a little more productive in college. Obviously, an older prospect. He is the perfect profile where I love to the back end of the third or even a priority free agent in rookie drafts. A guy you just throw a dart at. You just, hey, I'm banking on athleticism, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's just it's almost the perfect player. I like to throw that dart. In the fourth round, if you do have fourth rounds, I don't play in any dynasty leagues with fourth rounds. So, like I said, priority free agents, he's the perfect guy. I like to throw some fab on.
Yeah, he's a great, great dart throw guy. Absolutely. Kind of this that doesn't really have a massive pedigree, a little longer in the tooth. Dynasty managers don't want him, but you're, hey, you know what? If I got a taxi squad, that's the place for him. Or if I got empty benches spots to, I can roster him on the cheap, that's what I want to do. So, like that call a lot. And let's just keep going. You got one more back you want to go over, right?
Yes, I do. I feel like we have to cover this player based on his pro day. Will Shipley, running back out of Clemson, 5'11", 206 pounds, a nice PFF grade of 72.9, which is 245th overall. So not nice. But I think that grade, I mean, he came in to his pro day and just absolutely, I mean, quote unquote, dominated a pro day. I mean, who knows how, I guess, legitimate that 40-yard dash is, but he ran a 4.39 official on his 40, which is impressive, obviously. A 4.11 20-yard shuttle, a 6.813 cone, 38.5-inch broad, I mean, sorry, vert, and then a 10.2-inch broad. Those numbers, if you compared it to the NFL Combine, would rank him 75th out of 1,775 running backs all time. Obviously, it wasn't at the NFL Combine, but clearly Will Shipley showed some athleticism, and that's going to put NFL teams that's going to put him on notice with NFL teams, a running back with that kind of athleticism. But I feel like when you put the tape on, you don't see that athleticism transfer over. He just doesn't. He doesn't have just you just don't see that explosion. I feel like in some of these breakaway runs, he gets caught and he just kind of looks a little awkward at times out there. So, I mean, he could be just a pro day warrior, but Will Shipley definitely did himself some good with those times. And Chad Reuter actually had him going in the third round to the Kansas City Chiefs, which people would probably overreact. Obviously a very athletic back going to Kansas City in the third round. People would definitely overreact. And I think he would definitely be a second round rookie pick if that was the case, but just a guy that I felt like we had to mention just based on those numbers. Anytime a running back, I mean, plays at a big school, obviously has that kind of athleticism. His production was okay. He had 167 attempts for 827 yards in 2023. He had 210 attempts for 1,182 yards in 2022. So not bad. I mean, that correlated in 2022, 5.63 yards per carry, which was very good. And then 4.95 in 2023. So I mean, he was pretty productive at Clemson, but nothing to write home about, and obviously has the requisite athleticism. So it will be interesting to see what happens to Will Shipley in the NFL draft.
Agreed. And yeah, the production to me was fine. He has that 1,100-yard season on his resume. He also can catch the ball as well. He has two seasons of 31 or more receptions at Clemson to finish out his career in college. So he can actually do a little bit of everything. But the point you really made that really resonated with me was that when you watch him play, what you saw at the combine does not really carry over to the field itself with any type of consistency. You see it here and there, but really just kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more. And so I do worry about that in the pros, and I'm just not sure exactly what to make of him at this point in the process. He's a guy I'm really going to let the NFL dictate what I think of him based on around what they think of him come draft day. So that but that's going to put a pin in it. Like, that's a pretty good review of a lot of the high profile guys in this class. There's a few players that we definitely didn't get to mention in this episode, but so make sure you're doing your homework. And again, if you have any questions along the way for us here, yeah, your rookie draft coming up and you're not sure, you want some last second advice, or maybe just some custom advice for what year's best for your dynasty roster, you can catch us on the Did It app. That's DIDIT for iPhone users only. And what that app does is it allows you to connect with us directly and kind of just talk about really anything that you want to talk about on the fantasy landscape, you know, whether it's rookie stuff, you know, custom strategies for your dynasty team, whatever the case may be. Did It is there to help. And so make sure you're checking that out. Give that app a download and give it a shot. And we're here to help. And until next time, folks, peace.